Chazal teach us that Chochma Bagoyim Tamin, Torah Bagoyim Al Tamin. Somebody's going to tell you that there's wisdom to be found amongst the Goyim, their writings. So believe it, it's true. But Torah Bagoyim, if you're going to say that you find something which is tantamount to Torah, so don't believe it. Mashgiach always explained this as being that even in the highest level, where you have real chachma, real wisdom, there's always going to be an iota of a difference, or more than that, between chachma and Torah. As good as a guy is going to be able to get, as wise as he is, there is a pintle, there's just a little bit between what he's saying and the emes. So it's true, but it's not quite there. There's another layer that you can take it. And that's what we call Torah. Now, you want a great example of how this plays itself out is something I've been thinking about for whatever reason over the last couple of weeks. There's a famous fable. It's an Aesop's fable. Aesop was a Greek slave. Pashtus, he lived during the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, an awfully long time ago. And one of his famous fables, the tortoise and the hare, and this one is the goose with the golden eggs. The story of the goose with the golden eggs is you have a farmer, and the farmer has this goose. And regular goose, you know, you got to feed him and take care of him and everything. And one day he goes to the goose's house or nest or whatever it is, and he finds underneath the goose an egg, and it looks like it's gold. He says, "This is too crazy. It can't really be gold." So he goes and he takes it to a jeweler, and they check it out. And lo and behold, a goose egg, which is pretty big, nice zaftig egg, 100% solid gold. He's ecstatic. He's rich. Okay? He goes home, you know, buys his wife a nice, nice supper, whatever it is. And, you know, he's really good mood. And the next morning, lo and behold, another egg. Checks it out again. I mean, it's too good to be true. The third day, it's the same thing. And the fourth day, it's the same thing. And the fifth day, and over and over and over again. He's a millionaire. He's a billionaire. And every day, another egg comes in, and he's getting richer and richer and richer. Until, like the curse of all rich people, he becomes greedy. And he says, "Why should I wait every single day to get, you know, a measly egg, however much money it's worth? Why don't I want to get it all at once?" So he goes out and he takes a shechet's knife and he shechts the goose and he opens up its stomach and he figures he's going to get all of the eggs. Too bad on him. Nothing inside the goose. And the moral of the story, and this is the Chachma Bagoyim Tamin, is that realize that when you have a goose, you don't only have to work in order to get the eggs. You have to take care of the goose. If you're only trying to get the eggs and you're not going to take care of the goose, then you're not going to be successful. So if you have a business and you work your workers very, very hard because you want production, so then that's great. But on the other hand, you don't take care of the workers. You don't give them a raise every once in a while. You don't give them some perks. You don't take care of the working environment. So then the goose gets sick. The goose is going to be dead and you're finished. Same thing with yourself. Don't only worry about production. You got to worry about yourself. You can work very, very hard. But if you don't exercise, if you don't eat properly, you don't sleep properly, you're not going to see production. And that's the Chachma Bagoyim Tamin. What's the problem with the mashal? The problem with the mashal is that it doesn't match the nimshal. The nimshal over here is not make sure that you take care of the goose as well as production. Why? What do you have to do for a goose in order to get the golden eggs? You have to squeeze it? You have to push its nose? You have to, you know, go ahead like a midwife and pull out the golden egg? No, you do nothing. The only thing you have to do is feed the goose. Take care of the goose. Feed the goose. Make sure the goose is safe. And if the goose is well and healthy, it's going to produce its golden eggs. That's all you have to do. You only have to have a single mind to focus. Take care of the goose and it will produce the eggs. It's true about geese, and it's true about human beings also. If you have a child, you have a friend, you have somebody that you're responsible for, and you give him his food, and you give him his love, and you give him his whatever he needs in order to stay safe, in order to thrive, a normal person will produce. And if he's not producing, then bepashtus is something that he's not getting. It's true in all walks of life. But there is an exception to the rule. Because when we're talking about it, if you take care of somebody, give them what they need, so the production will be there. That's true in the world of Olam Hazeh. It's true in the world of Derech Eretz. But there is a higher level than that, or a different level than that, where things don't always work exactly the same way. Parshas Chukas is a parsha that unfortunately talks a lot about death. Starting with the Parah Aduma. You have the Parah Aduma, which is used in order to be Metayer, somebody who becomes Tamei Meis. And then right after that, almost immediately, so we start reading about different people passing from the scene. Two out of the big three leave the scene in this week's parsha. First you have Miriam. Miriam, you could say, is the mother of Klal Yisrael in the Midbar. When Miriam dies, so there's no more water. Water is the source of life. Without water, we all die. And Miriam supplies the water. After that, so then you have the Misa of Aaron. Before Aaron's Misa, so Klal Yisrael passes through Edom. And right after that, the Torah says, Vayisu mikadesh, Vayavayu b'nei Yisrael, Kola Eda Harahar. They all come to Harahar. Vayimra Hashem al Moshe v'al Aaron b'Harahar al Gvul Eretz Edom Lemar. He tells Moshe that Aaron is going to pass on over here. Zakt Rashi, why right now? Magid shemipneishin is chabru kan leiskarev leisav arasha. Since Klal Yisrael wanted to get together with Esav arasha, they wanted to go through Edom. Nifritzu maseim, their meisim took a hit. The chasru hatzadik azeh, and they lost this tzadik. Musar Haskel, when a tzibur goes down, they lose a tzadik. You have to be zeichet to have a tzaddik in your midst. If your level goes down, so then you lose tzaddikim. You lose the tzaddik. So Aaron is taken away. And from the way that Aaron is taken away, they learn a lot of different things. First of all, where is Aaron buried? Where does Aaron die? So the Torah tells us, Al Harahor. What's Harahar? Why is it called the Mountain of Mountains? So Rashi says, Har al gabe har ke tapua katan al gabe tapua gadol. It's not just a mountain. It's a mountain on a mountain. The Mountain of Mountains. Moshe Rabbeinu, also buried on a mountain. But the Pasuk in Vezeis HaBracha tells us that wherever Moshe is buried on Har Nevoi, it's hidden from the human eye. We have no idea where he is. On the other hand, Aaron, you can go there, you can visit in Jordan. Not only is it on a mountain, it's on a mountain of mountains. Up there on the perch. Full view for everybody. The second distinction between Aaron and Moshe's Misa, you have that Moshe Rabbeinu tells Aaron to come with him. The Pasuk says the Lashon of Kach es Aaron, take Aaron. Has Moshe Rabbeinu take Aaron? Zakt Rashi b'divrei nechumim. Comfort him. Emor lo yashrecho shetira kisrecho nosin lebonecho ma she'ein ani zakeh l'kach. You're going to see your Keser, the Keser Kohuna, before you die, Aaron, you're going to see Elazar in full regalia, dressed up as the Kayin Gadol, and that's the way that you're going to leave the world. So in a very physical sense, you, Aaron, see your legacy passed on. Moshe Rabbeinu never sees that. First of all, Moshe Rabbeinu is not succeeded by his children. There is no Moshe Rabbeinu with Big Day Moshe Rabbeinu, you know. He doesn't pass the tablets over to Gershom. It doesn't happen. Moshe Rabbeinu passes on the Torah to all of us. We're all his Talmidim. But in this world, in this physical temporal world, we don't see the legacy of Moshe Rabbeinu being passed on to physical children. But Aaron is not like that. Aaron's kahuna in this physical world is passed on physically. His legacy is passed on physically. Elazar is standing there with the tzitz, with the chushin, with the ephod, everything. He became the new Aaron. Aaron, you're still alive in the physical realm. And now Aaron passes on. The third difference. The third difference is the pasuk tells us after Aaron dies, Vayivku es Aaron shloshim yoim. So they all cried for Aaron for 30 days. Who? Kol Beis Yisrael. All Beis Yisrael. Sifsei Chachamim points out that by Moshe it doesn't say Kol Beis Yisrael. Why by Aaron does it say Kol Beis Yisrael? Very simple. It says Rashi, Lefi Shehaya Aaron, Oyev Shalom V'Roideh Shalom, Matil Avo Bein Balim Merivo Bein Ish Liishtai. Aaron was the man of peace. Aaron was the one who made sure that everybody got the love that they needed so they produced their golden eggs. That was the job of Aaron HaKohen. And so therefore everybody loved Aaron. Now what about Moshe Rabbeinu? The famous quip, they say it in the name of many people. But a Rav who everybody likes is not a Rav. A Rav who nobody likes is not a mensch. Moshe Rabbeinu was Moshe Rabbeinu. He was the Rav. So you can't say Vayivko, I say Kol Beis Yisrael. Not everybody's going to cry. Lots of people after Moshe Rabbeinu left the scene are like, okay, fine, you know. It's a sigh of relief. It's like when the Rosh Yeshiva goes to America, doesn't sit there in front of us in the Beis Midrash making everybody scared. And then attendance takes a hit. But that's the way that it goes. So you have these three distinctions between Aaron and Moshe. Aaron is buried not only on the mountain, but hara, we know where it is. Moshe, it's hidden. Aaron passes on his legacy physically to his children in his lifetime. Moshe Rabbeinu does not. And Aaron is a person that after he leaves, everybody in this world is very, very sad to see him go. Everyone is crying. Moshe Rabbeinu, it doesn't say Kol Beis Yisrael. What's the difference between the role of Aaron and the role of Moshe? And why is it that Aaron, in this world, when he leaves over this legacy that's so physically visible. Everybody appreciates him. Masha Inkain with Moshe, it's a different type of a thing. Now, when I was growing up, I think I was still in high school, it was in the 80s, so one of the great business minds of the time. They all called him a business genius. A guy called Lee Iacocca. I think he just died a couple of years ago. But what he was famous for was Chrysler Plymouth, you know, Dodge, all of those, the auto industry. So they took a nosedive. They were in bankruptcy. And, you know, I don't know how they're doing today. I wouldn't be surprised if it happened again. But he went and he took them over and he brought them back not only to solvency, but, you know, he made them very, very profitable. He's a genius, Lee Iacocca, he's a genius. They asked Lee Iacocca, what's your secret? You know, what do you do? How are you doing things different than everybody else? He had a great line. He said, I hire people who are brighter than I am and I get out of their way. It's a big mistake that people make. You know, you have a goose, so you want the egg, so bash it on the head a couple of times. Like, why aren't you giving forth the egg? Work a little harder. So you get the guy, you know, you hire the guy, and you nudge him so that he produces. No, hire people who are brighter than me and get out of their way. They can do it. I once had an experience like that at a PTA meeting. I went for one of my kids a couple of years ago. And my kid, Baruch Hashem, you know, he had like an all-star Rebbe that year, the first year that he was teaching, at least in Telstone. And he had the class enraptured every day with chazonos and leaning and the gemara that they would do, everything. He was chalashing to go to school. Mamash, an all-star Rebbe. So I came to the PTA meeting, and you know, with a class that's going like that, so he had very nice things to say about my son. So I said back to him, you know, you say nice things about my son, let me tell you some nice things about you. I said, you know, he loves, he runs to school in the morning, and da-da-da-da-da-da, and then he's this, and he's that, and he's like, he goes, let me tell you, he goes, I just have one philosophy, he goes, these kids are so sweet, they're so good, they're so bright, I just don't want to ruin it. I just don't want to ruin it. He was being modest. But there's a certain emphasis in that too. This book that I was talking about last week, he had a story like that. And also, his first job in Chinuch, he was in Kehil in the Mir Yeshiva, Rabbi Trank. And when he was about 30, you know, so they had one of these, you know, the bums from the East Side type of classes or whatever, you know, like the guys that came into class, I don't know, with their spiked helmets and who knows, you know, the way they describe it. So they said, okay, fine, we'll put him in the classroom with these guys. And they, you know, in the course of time, 30 years later, this one is doing this and this one is doing that. They all turned out, you know, very, very good. And they said to him, how did you do that? You know, you took these guys who were who knows what, and you made them into stars. And he said, no, I didn't do anything. They were always stars. It's just the natural natia is that people don't let people become the stars that they're supposed to be. Just get out of their way. Just feed the goose, and he produces the eggs. And that's one bechina of chinuch, and that's one bechina of everything that we're trying to do in life. For ourselves too. Being mechanech ourselves. We have to appreciate that if we just go ahead and we give ourselves what we need, a good environment, enough food to eat, enough sleep, everything, take care of everything, friends, social environment, we will thrive, we will produce. That's what we're here for. It's natural. If a person sits and does nothing, he suffers, he feels bored, he doesn't feel, he wants to do good. That's one bechina. I would say though that that's the bechina of Aharon HaKohen. That's the bechina of being Nayev Shalom, Raidev Shalom, being Makarev Chaverim, making sure that husbands and wives get along together. It's an olam hazedik bechina, making sure that everybody has what they need and having a pleasant, good, warm, loving environment. And when you give that to people, so then everybody loves you, because you're constantly giving and you're constantly giving them what they need and allowing them to produce. When such a person leaves, so everybody puts him on a pedestal, you know, he's got the Beis HaKvaris has the biggest matseva over there. He's on Har HaOr. Big monument for Aharon HaKohen. And everybody cries. His son takes off where he does, because everybody appreciates that we need people like that. But then there's another bechina. There's a bechina of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is a bechina of Torah. Torah is not just chesed, it's not just giving, it's not just warmth. Torah is an intangible of taking the human neshama, or nefesh, and raising it to a level which is not the natural human being. Tav kuf deiris were derech eretz up until we got Torah. And living on that higher level is not always so comfortable. When Klal Yisrael starts to sink and they're not on that higher level, so it's Moshe Rabbeinu who, you know, pushes the button and then the magefa starts. And it's not always so pleasant. Moshe Rabbeinu, what he gave the people, that's not measurable. It's not measurable in terms of this world. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu's legacy, where Moshe Rabbeinu is hidden. Does Moshe Rabbeinu give over to his children flesh and blood? He gives over to his children, but not his physical children. All of the tzivuyim of Moshe Rabbeinu, all of the lessons of Moshe Rabbeinu, everything that he taught us, it's in me and you. It's in the Klal Yisrael. And when Moshe Rabbeinu leaves, so there are a lot of people who remember not only the pleasant experiences, but the not so pleasant experiences. There's two bechinas. There's the chinuch of Aaron and there's the chinuch of Moshe Rabbeinu. In order to grow to greatness, a person first of all has to treat himself knowing that if he gives himself what he needs, all of his physical needs, all of his emotional needs, he will produce. But on the other hand, moving on levels, spiritual levels of Torah, higher and higher and higher and higher, that's a difficult and sometimes uncomfortable process. And it's not something that you're going to be able to measure with your human eyes. It's something that you only appreciate years later, sometimes not even in this world. So a person goes through this parsha and sees what the loss of an Aaron HaKohen meant to Klal Yisrael, the contrast of what happens when Moshe Rabbeinu leaves. So he has to focus on these two bechinas and make sure that he's growing in both of them. Person has to realize that in order to get the golden eggs, you don't have to do anything else except for feed the goose. But on the other hand, if you want to be more than a goose, if you want to be a Ben Tera, and not only a Ben Tera, but Tzaddik, a Talmud Chacham, so then a person has to push himself out of his comfort zone. And that's not always the most comfortable process that there is. We should all be zeche to be matzliach on both of the levels, on the level of derech eretz of Olam Hazeh, and ultimately Torah, which is the level of Olam Haba, out of this world, taking our neshama and putting it into a different realm, a different dimension altogether. Have a good Shabbos.